This is HPR episode 1924 entitled, Port Forwarding, and is part of the series, Privacy and Security. It is hosted by 5150 and is about 23 minutes long. The summary is, in HPR 1900, Ahuka suggests changing the default SSH port. I ask why not employ port forwarding?
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. I want to talk to you a little bit today about port forwarding. And what inspired me to record this podcast was episode 1900, where Ahuka talked about setting up SSH and SSH server. And he advised the users to change the default port on the server. I thought about it while I was going to respond to that and ask him why he didn't just change the port via port forwarding on the router. And it struck me that if there was anybody in the audience who didn't understand why I'm asking that question, then they probably would benefit from me explaining a little bit about port forwarding. So for over 90% of the HPR listeners, what I'm going to be imparting today is stuff that you already know. So I'm not trying to insult anybody's experience or intelligence or something like that. But if there's any listeners out there who followed Ahuka's episode on SSH and didn't question why he didn't use port forwarding, then probably you need to learn a little bit more about port forwarding. So that's what I'm going to do today. Now, I said Ahuka rightly said you shouldn't expose SSH service to the internet on the default port. In fact, any service exposed to the internet should not be on the default ports, with possibly the exception of a web server that's meant for public access. Now, if it's the only people going to be accessing the web server are you and your family members, then yes, certainly move it to anything but port 80 and port 8080. That's the alternate port for HTTP. But unfortunately, if you're trying to set up a web server the general public is supposed to be coming into, then most of them are not sophisticated enough to add a colon in the port number at the end of the address. And you know, if you set up your website like that for the public, nobody's going to come. That's one of the few protocols that I would recommend you stick with the default ports. But if it's just going to be you and maybe some friends or family members coming in, I would always suggest putting services on a port other than the default. I'm just questioning the way Ahuka went about it. So I'm not sure, I don't recall if he explained exactly how you would do it on the server side, but I've got an article from CyberCity, which is cited in the show notes. I've sort of paraphrased it, but if you wanted to change the default port for SSH, then you would want to edit /etc/ssh/ssh/ssh/sshd. I'm sorry, let me start over again, because invariably somebody's going to put in too many S's. /etc/ssh/sshd_config. So you want to open that in nano or something, whatever you're comfortable with, And look for the line that says port 22 and change it to port. Well, the article says port 2222. Don't make it port 2222. Make it some other different port. Because if you see something cited in an article like that, then yeah, a lot of people are just going to think, oh yeah, it has to be that, or that's a good place to put it. So yeah, I guarantee you, people trying to get into your network, they're scanning 2222 for SSH because they've read the same article. It's like on passwords. I guarantee you, there's 1,000 people out there that their password is a correct horse battery staple from the XKD cartoon, because they thought, you know, they literally typed in the example from the XKCD. And of course, anybody's trying to crack in your network, they've got that in their list of common passwords. So if you ever see something in an example and say, okay, we're going to redirect from the standard port to this port, pick anything but whatever port they say to change it to. Now it says restart SSHD server, and you wonder where the D comes from. I believe that's SSHD. Well, start SSHD for daemon. So I'm pretty sure under systemd, that would be systemctl space restart space SSHD. So that's what you do, this restart the SSH server service without having to reboot the computer. And of course, you have to do that as root. So assuming you've done sudo elevate to root, or you're prefacing that command with sudo, then it tells you how to connect. example, you've got to use, if you're using a non-standard port, then you have to use the dash P switch. So it's SSH space dash P space 2222. We're using their example. Don't use the same port. Underscore user at your dash IP or SSH space dash P space 2222 space user at your domain. Now, switching SSH port internally might make sense if you manage a business or school network where you have various levels of trust with the people who let on your network internally. But, you know, I think anybody's capable of brute forcing your SSH credentials or your shared keys, I don't think they're going to be slowed down any by changing the port. But Hookah mentioned home networks, and I think if you trust the people in your family, it'd be best to keep things simple locally. So I'm suggesting we leave SSH running on port 22 internal to the network, and then we change it using IP forwarding in the router for the external network. And in other words, if you're trying to get into your network, a machine via SSH over the internet on your network, because unless you only have the one PC connected directly to your ISP with no router or firewall, you'll still need to set up port forwarding to tell the router which machine on your network the incoming data is intended. In other words, let's say you've enabled SSH on port 40,001 on a machine with an internal address of 192.168.1.5. In other words, if you're on your network, you can ping that machine at 192.168.1.5. Okay, let's say you try to log in remotely. I mean, you're not on your network, you're in a hotel on vacation, or you're at your office, whatever. So you're outside your network and you want to log in to a machine on your home system. So instead of looking at you're not going to be looking at an address like 192.168.x.y, you're going to be looking at an address like, it'll be either class A or class B address that was assigned to your ISP by the IANA. So let's say for sake of argument, your external address is 73.149.12.124. And to find the external address of your network, you should be able to find it in your router status page, or you can just go to Google and type in what's my IP, and you'll find several pages that will reflect that back to you. So to reiterate, let's say you have SSH server running on port 40,001 on a machine with the IP address 192.168.1.5 on your home network. Your external address is 73.149.12.124. And you're trying to get in, you're trying to SSH into that server from a remote location out on the internet. So you issue SSH space dash P space 40001, I'm sorry, 40001 space your username at 73.149.12.124. Well, unless the router you're using actually supports SSH server, it very well could be if you're using external firmware like OpenWRT or DDWRT, in which case I don't know why you're still listening to this episode. But if you haven't configured port forwarding, the router won't have any idea what to do if an incoming request on port 40001. You need to set up port forwarding table in your router. Don't worry, it's all point and click. You may find it under advanced in the menus, or security, or firewall, or a combination of the above. But when you set up port forwarding, you're going to be asked to first enter the external port number, in our example 40001. Whether it uses the TCP or UDP IP protocol or both, and unless you've got a drop down selection for both, you may have to set it up on separate lines for TCP and UDP. In other words, you'll have two entries in your table. Then you'll have the internal IP address. Again, in our example, it was 192.168.1.5, and then the internal port number. And if you changed it internally as a hooker recommended, you know, from our example, it's 40001. But, and this is the whole point of this entire podcast, if you're going to have to set up port forwarding anyway, why change the port number locally in the first place? So in other words, you might as well leave the internal port number alone, in which case the internal port number is still going to be 22, the default. Now I want to go over the terms TCP and UDP, because you followed me this far. Like I said, I'm not trying to insult anybody's experience out there, but if you followed me this far, it's possible those terms are not familiar to you. So TCP stands for Transport Control Protocol, and UDP stands for User Data Protocol. And really the difference is TCP, when the machine that's transmitting information, it stops every so many packets, and I don't hold me this, I believe the default is 3. It stops and listens for a reply from the receiver. What's looking for is a reply from the receiver, yes, I got those last 3 packets, go ahead. UDP, by contrast, the transmitting computer just blasts out the whole message all at once, doesn't care whether the receiving computer got any of it or not, doesn't check on it. So UDP is faster, certainly, but TCP is less errors. Now, when picking whatever port number that you're going to use externally, I skipped over that. Changing port numbers is called, it comes under the heading of security by obscurity. In other words, somebody's sniffing ports. They do, if you're using 40001, and again, don't use, for the same reason I said don't use 2222, don't use 40001. Because the bad guys are going to find this article and say, yeah, there's going to be some people who take the article way too literally, and they use 40,001. So, for SSH, for that port number is forever burned. Use something else. But if you enter the term TCP port into Google, you're going to come up with this excellent article that documents all the official and unofficial port assignments. Because in about three digits, most of those are taken for port assignments. You get four digits, a little more scarce. Five digits, it's pretty rarefied. But you still need to look, because you would think the example I gave, 40,000 ones, oh, nobody's got assigned ports. Well, actually, 40,000 is used by SafetyNet real-time industrial Ethernet protocol. Now, you may look at I'm not saying don't write on the same port that is already used by something that obscure, because, above the number 500, I think most of the ports are not officially assigned. Just somebody's come up with a technology and a product, and they're sort of squatting on the port. At least it's documented, but there's nothing official that says that port has to be assigned to that product. It's just they pulled, just like you will, they pulled a random port out of the air and used it. So if you look at whatever protocol that is, whatever product is associated with that protocol, if you're sure that's something you're never going to be using on your network, that even adds to the obscurity to run a service like SSH over a protocol that is linked to a technology, but to a technology you're sure you're never going to use. Okay, another advantage of port redirection. Let's say you're away from home and there's more than one machine on your network that you want to remotely log into. So in other words, 40,001 redirects to your server, 40,002 redirects to your desktop, and 40,003 redirects to that old laptop that you gave to your kids. So, you could pick which machine on your network that you're SSHing into by changing the port number, and you would set up separate redirections for each of those ports. But for most persons, I would suggest only having SSH redirect to one machine, and then you remotely log into that machine, and then from there you use SSH locally, like you were on your local network. And then sorry. And then you would, once you're on one client on your local network, you SSH from there further into other machines locally. So we're talking about at least three nested shells here. It's even possible to run graphical programs over SSH using the -X argument, but I'm going to leave that's kind of complicated. It gives me a headache. I'm leaving that one for another podcast. Unfortunately, we're going to lose that functionality when we move from X server to Wayland. So really, if you need to get into your network via graphical program, let's say your router has a graphical interface, you really don't want to configure your router so that you can directly log into it from the WAN side. If you put in that external address, if you have the router set up to accept WAN side external connections, and then you put in that address that the ISP gave you, yeah, you're going to be logged in the router just like you'd typed in 192.168.1.1 or whatever. But that means anybody else could get into it too. Of course, you still got a password or whatever. But no, it's best not to do it that way. So you could SSH into a host on your system, and assuming that host probably have to be a host other than your server. So you might get into your server, then get into a desktop or laptop running on your system, and then, well, or not the and then, but get in from the server, get in a desktop or laptop on your system using the capital X option to start an X session, and from there you could, get into a browser and then, get into your router setup or get into your own cloud setup, something like that. So that's a better way to go. But, we're gonna lose that functionality when we move from X server to Wayland. So if that's something you need, you're probably gonna have to look into something like VNC or virtual private networking. Of course, everything I've talked about tonight, you're gonna have to have a static IP locally for anything running SSH server or any protocol that you're using for port forwarding, because your router is going to be set, it's going to be expecting your server to be on, with our example of course, to be on 192.168.1.5. And if every time you reboot everything on your network, that IP floats around, and that ain't gonna work out for you. So either you're gonna have to go on that server and manually assign it to a static IP, or go in your router. Most of your modern routers, I won't say, well, the cheap one I have, it won't do it, but the good one, the Buffalo will, that's running DDWRT anyway by default. But you go in and set static IPs and associate them with a MAC address. So those are two ways to go to make sure it's a static IP. Now, on the other end, for this to work, you're going to have a static IP or a pseudo static IP on the external address of your network. Now, I'm lucky, my particular provider, unless they switch out the hardware, my external IP never changes. But you may find out from today to day, at least if you cycle the power and get a new connection, your external IP is going to change to something in that range that the IANA has assigned to your ISP. So if you've got that, you're going to have to set up some sort of virtual domain service. And there's few out there I think are still no cost, and more that do cost a nominal amount per month. Because if you're logging in remotely, you've got to know that the IP of your network that you're trying to hit isn't changing. Okay, I really hope I haven't made this too complicated for folks. But like I said, if you're in pretty much every situation, if you're trying to log in to a machine on your network remotely, then you're going to have to set up port forwarding across your router, because otherwise the router is not going to know which machine on your network it's supposed to be moving that information over to. Okay, I've been 5150. You can contact me directly at 5150@linuxbasement.com, or reply in the comments, or record your own show if you think I've been in error here. Record your show and explain to me what I said wrong. I think I already said, but in case I didn't say, and once we get IVP6 on our local networks, all this goes out the window. So you can forget, when that happens, you can forget everything I've said tonight. Okay, well, thanks for listening to HPR.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.